Welcome to DNB College. Today we're building a proper old-school DNB breakbeat route from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and then we're going to make it move like a living drum performance using automation. That's the whole game here, not just looping a break, but turning it into a section that breathes, lifts, and drives the track forward. This is one of the most important skills in drum and bass production. In jungle, old school, rollers, and darker break-led DNB, the break is doing more than just keeping time. It gives the track identity. It pushes momentum. It creates tension before the bass fully takes over. And technically, that means it can't just stay static for 8 or 16 bars. If it does, it gets stale fast. So we're going to make it feel intentional, musical, and alive. Start with a break that already has character. An amen is the classic choice, but really anything with a strong snare backbone and some ghost note detail can work. Drop it into an audio track in Ableton and warp it so the transients land cleanly with the grid, but don't over-tighten it. You want control, not machine-perfect stiffness. Keep some of that human push and pull. That's where the swing lives. Then begin carving it into useful pieces. Think kick, snare, hats, tops, and a few ghost hit fragments. You're not preserving the full loop as a loop. You're building a break kit from a performance. And this matters, because once you start arranging in DNB, the break often needs to answer the bass line, leave space for a vocal, or move around a snare fill. So keep at least one or two slightly messy pieces from the original break. Those imperfections are gold. They stop the whole thing sounding like a generic programmed loop. What to listen for here is simple. The snares should still hit with attitude after warping, and the ghost notes should sit behind the main hits, not jump out like random ticks. If the warp has smeared the crack of a snare, back off and try a different warp mode or reduce how much you're forcing the clip to conform. Once you've got the break behaving, turn it into something playable. A fast route is to drag it into simpler and use slice mode, or slice it to a drum rack if you want each hit on its own pad. That gives you direct rhythmic control, which is crucial in DNB, because the drums often need to react to the bass line rather than sit there repeating the same phrase over and over. Build a basic 2-bar pattern first. You want a strong backbeat on 2 and 4, a kick pickup or ghost before key snares, one or two hat fragments for forward motion, and at least one small variation in the second bar. Keep it musical. Don't cram every 16th note with detail. A break edit should breathe. If you make every bar too busy, the bass loses its pocket and the whole groove starts to feel crowded. A really useful workflow move is to duplicate the MIDI clip and make the second version your variation, instead of endlessly rewriting the original. That way you can compare the main groove against the lift version quickly and make smarter arrangement choices later. Before you touch automation, get the hierarchy right. In old-school DNB, the snare is the anchor. If the snare doesn't read instantly, the whole thing feels weak. Put an EQ8 on the break channel and clean it up. Gently high-pass any useless rumble, usually somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz. Check the low-mid area around 180 to 250 Hz for boxiness. If the snare needs more crack, a small lift somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz can help. And if the hats are biting too hard, tame them carefully around 7 to 10 kHz. You can also add a little saturation, either before or after the EQ depending on what you need. If the source is a bit thin, saturate first to thicken it. If the low mid area is already messy, clean it up first and then add harmonics. Keep it subtle. A soft curve with maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive is usually enough. In old school breaks, too much saturation starts turning ghost notes into sand, and that kills the detail that makes the groove move. What to listen for here is whether the kick and snare stay distinct once the bass is muted. If the whole break turns into one blurred sheet of noise, you've pushed the processing too far. At that point, back it off and protect the transient contrast. Now we get to the core of the lesson. Automation. This is where the break stops being a loop and starts feeling like a section. The safest and most musical automation targets are auto filter cutoff, utility gain, reverb dry slash wet, saturator drive, and if you're using it lightly, echo feedback or filter on fills. One of the most effective old-school DNB moves is to keep the break mostly dry and full through the main groove, then gradually open a low-pass filter over the last two bars of a phrase. So maybe bars 1 through 6 stay tight and dark, and bars 7 and 8 open up little by little so the hats and top-end energy rise before the next section lands. That kind of movement creates anticipation without needing a massive riser. Another great move is a tiny gain dip right before a fill or turnaround, then a snap back to full level on the downbeat. That gives you a breath in, hit out feeling. It makes the section feel larger when it lands, and that's important in drum and bass, because the listener is following micro energy over long DJ-friendly phrases. Why this works in DNB is because the genre is built on phrase tension. You don't always need huge cinematic effects. A break that opens up over the final bars of a section creates pressure and release in a very drum-led way. It keeps the arrangement feeling authentic to jungle and old-school writing, where the drums themselves are part of the drama. Now, you've got a choice to make. If you want a darker, tighter route, keep the filter movement subtle, use only a very gentle saturation lift, and automate utility gain by small amounts, usually just a couple dB at most. That gives you a more underground, pressure-heavy result. If you want something more animated and rave-adjacent, open the filter a bit more in the last two bars, add a touch of reverb on specific fills, and push the top slightly harder with saturation. That gives you more air and more lift. The key is not to combine both approaches blindly. If you do everything at once, you lose that grounded old-school feel. Pick the flavor that serves the tune. And here's a big one. Automate in phrases, not randomly. Think in 4-bar and 8-bar sentences. Bars 1 to 4 establish the pocket. Bars 5 to 8 add a movement cue. Bars 9 to 12 repeat with a slight variation. Bars 13 to 16 either open up or thin out before the transition. That phrase logic makes the drums feel like they're performing the arrangement instead of just looping. So for a 16-bar intro, you might keep the break filtered and restrained for the first 8 bars, open the cutoff a bit more in bars 9 to 12, then bring in a reverse tail or a short reverb lift in the final bars before snapping back dry on the drop. That last bit is important. The biggest drop impact often comes from removing information rather than adding more. A really practical move here is to create one fill that you commit to audio. Duplicate a clip, make a 1-beat or 2-beat turnaround, resample it if you need to, and print it once it's clearly working. This is one of those moments where you should stop tweaking and freeze the shape. If the fill already feels right, commit it and move on. That gives you a stronger anchor for automation later. A clean fill structure could be the snare plus ghosted hat fragments in the first half, a short reverse or filtered tail in the second half, and then a strong snare or stripped kick into the next section. Then automate the fill so it rises slightly into the impact and drops hard after it. Keep it sharp. Keep it readable. At this point, bring in the bass line or at least a sub placeholder and check everything in context. This is where a lot of people get fooled. A break and sound amazing solo and then completely fall apart once the bass arrives. Listen carefully. Does the kick still separate from the sub? Does the snare still dominate the backbeat? Are the hats fighting the bass movement? Is the automation actually making the groove feel alive or just busier? If your bass is a Reese or a moving mid-bass, keep the break's automation more restrained in the 200 to 800 HCE area. If the bass is sub-heavy and sparse, you can usually let the break have a little more top-end motion and keep the low end centered. Any widening should live in the higher textures only. If you widen the core kick and snare weight, the break may sound exciting in headphones but lose punch on a proper system. A tiny bus stage can help unify the edit. Route the break elements into a drum bus or group and use a light glue compressor or drum bus if needed. Keep it subtle, maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks, a slowish attack so the snare transient survives, and a medium release so the groove rebounds naturally. This isn't about flattening the break. It's about making the chopped fragments feel like one performance. And now, the final test. Place the break in a real arrangement, not just a loop, but an intro, a drop, a switch up, or a second drop evolution. Maybe the intro is filtered and sparse. Maybe the first drop is direct and snare-led. Maybe the midsection gets one twist in density or filter movement. And maybe the second drop keeps the same core break, but changes the automation arc, so it feels evolved rather than copied. A strong second drop move is to keep the break identity the same, but open the filter slightly faster, remove a touch of reverb so it lands drier, and add one extra ghost note on the final bar. That gives you progression without destroying recognition. Here's the bigger lesson. The best break edits usually come from restraint, not from endlessly adding more. If the snare is speaking clearly, the ghost notes are audible, and the section already pushes forward, you may not need another layer, another effect, or another fill. Sometimes the upgrade is simply to stop. Check the break solo, check it against the bass, and check it at lower monitor volume. If it still reads quietly, the groove is strong. If it only feels exciting when it's loud, it's probably too dependent on top-end processing. So keep the source break untouched, make a main groove version, and make one more aggressive alternate version. Compare them. Steal one useful detail from each. That's how you build edits that actually serve the track. Quick recap. Start with a break that has character, warp it carefully, slice it into playable pieces, build a tight two-bar groove, shape the hierarchy so the snare leads, then automate filter, gain, reverb, or saturation in phrases so the section breathes. Keep the low end centered, keep the main groove mostly dry, and let the automation support the arrangement rather than distract from it. If it grooves with the automation muted, and it gains lift when the automation is active, you've got a real DNB drum section, not just a loop.